Go to the book of Psalms tonight, chapter 146. Amen. You can't say that about many books of the Bible. Chapter 146. And I just feel to deal with this. This is another message I felt to deal with the other day. And I forgot my belt at home, so that's why I'm leaving my coat on. Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. My dad came over this afternoon. He's been having to work some on Sunday mornings, has to work tonight. And I got talking to him, walked out the door, and I said, well, but anyhow, Psalms 146. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. But this is amazing, these last chapters of the book of Psalms. When you read these, we know that there is a theme in them that is, and anybody know what that theme would probably be? It'd be the word praise. I mean, all throughout the last part of the book of Psalms, you'll find that the psalmist here is constantly trying to motivate. He's dealing with this word called praise. He tells us you can take time and read through those last chapters there. And many don't believe David had much to do with these. But anyhow, regardless of who wrote them, we would understand today that he is talking about a lot about this word. You ought to go through and count them sometime. I should do that. But in Psalms 146 and verse 1, this is what it says. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Praise ye the Lord. Verse 1 again, verse 1 and 2. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Amen. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the subject on praise. And if I was to title this, it would simply be Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I mean, that's a short one, ain't it? That'll fit on the CD, no problem. Sometimes I've given titles before and seen it written around the CD somebody would give me. But that's just a simple one tonight. How many times have you ever used that word before? Amen. We've got a few of you. A few nods, a few of us may have used it. But that word Hallelujah tonight, we're going to talk about it. Or you can call this Praise the Lord, however you want to do it. It's very simple. But I want you to notice something here. The Psalter is what he's called here. He ends the book of Psalms with what they call a cluster of Hallelujah Psalms in the book of Psalms. The last five chapters, five in number, all of them both beginning and ending with the phrases dealing along the lines of Praise the Lord. We have come here when you study the book of Psalms. I just want to give you this overlay. You come here when you study the book of Psalms, the very last Psalms of the psalmist here, from Psalms 146 to 150, is a group five, all beginning and ending with the word Hallelujah, but also translated in the English language, Praise the Lord. Most times in your English version of the Bible, where it says praise, not all the time, you have to study it out in its original language, but a lot of times here in these last five chapters, when it deals with this word, praise the Lord. As we read to you in that first verse where it says, "Praise ye the Lord," it's really just another way of saying Hallelujah. And as I said to you, that's translated "Praise the Lord" by most of your English scholars, most of your English versions. And we would understand when we come to the book of Psalms and the earlier Psalms, you would understand, man, I mean, when you read through the book of Psalms, it don't matter what you're going through, you can find something to fit what you're going through. Amen. You can read through there. I mean, if you go through a tough battle or this, you can find some psalm somewhere that kind of relates from what you're going through. But we would understand that in the earlier part of the Psalms, you would study writers, the writers' griefs, their shames, their sins, their doubts, their fears. You will witness different things, defeats and victories, their ups and downs in life. And all of a sudden here, at the very end of the book of Psalms, the final Psalms, this word praise seems to be a continual reoccurrence throughout the end of the book of Psalms. That massive book, 150 chapters, and I don't think it's by coincidence or by accident that the last five chapters of that book of Psalms is designated to worshiping and praising the Lord. We would understand this today because everybody in this room, I don't know if you realize it or not, but you are created in this room tonight. You were created to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. There ought to be something inside of you to praise and worship Him. Sometimes I've heard somebody tell me one time or make the insinuation situation that praise was Old Testament and that really it didn't have much place. And, you know, the New Testament church is more reformed and it's to be more smarter than that. And we're a little more laid back than what David was. But I want to tell you today, you don't read too much in the law about praising the Lord. Jesus didn't do away with praise. If anything, He wants us to magnify His name. He constantly wants us to praise Him. You know, sometimes we say that word magnify. When we say magnify Jesus, magnify the Father, magnify the Holy Ghost. When we say that word magnify, I don't believe we really understand what we're saying at times. You ever taken a magnifying glass at times? And you know, say there was something small print. Maybe some of you got to do that. I don't know. You know, it's very small print. And you'll take that magnifying glass and you'll hold it down over there. And all of a sudden it makes the letters what? It don't make them smaller, but it makes them bigger. So when we talk about tonight to magnify the Lord, to praise the Lord, when we say magnify Him, we are saying make Him bigger. You can't really make Him bigger physically or nothing with your strength, but it's saying proclaim His name. Magnify who He is. Every time we come to church, there ought to be a magnifying of the King of Kings. There ought to be a magnifying of the Lord of Lords. I was reading something a while back. A man by the name of Roy Clements, you probably never heard of him. He's a pastor in Cambridge in England. He said this one day. He said, there are three words that are understood in every language on the earth. The first word is amen. Amen. Everybody says amen, you know. The second word is what? Hallelujah. That's the same in every single language. But the third word is Coca-Cola. And you'll find even when you travel, that's true in Africa, they got Coca-Cola just like everywhere else. And that's exactly what they call it. It's written up there, Coca-Cola, just like it was anywhere else. He said, between these three words, amen, hallelujah, and Coca-Cola, I don't want to focus on Coca-Cola so much tonight. I want to leave that alone. But I do want to talk about this word, hallelujah. I want you to understand what this word means and when you say it, and what it means when you do say it. This word, hallelujah, is a compound word made up of two Hebrew words. The first word is made up of, it's called this word called Hallel. It is an imperative verb meaning praise. And the second part of the word is a contraction of the name for God, Jehovah. So hallelujah means praise the Lord or praise Jehovah. When you say that, you know, nowadays it becomes so, it seems to be so passive with that term. You know, sometimes they will put it on the side of a cleaning product. You know, this will get this clean, hallelujah. You'll find it on commercials. You'll find it on billboards. You'll find it here. You'll find it there. That word hallelujah just seems to be everywhere. But I'm telling you today, when you come to church, you ought to have something inside of you. It shouldn't be just because it's a word. It ought to be because it's coming out of the inside of you. That word hallelujah simply means praise the Lord. Amen. I found out in churches you got all types of personalities. You got some quiet. You got some loud. Some tall. Some short. Some fat, some skinny. I mean, all sizes, all shy. I mean, it's just true. There's a variety. There's personalities, you know. My mind goes to the ark, you know. On the ark there in the Old Testament, we know Noah built that ark, had three levels. Can you imagine in one room you had lions, and the next room you might have a mouse? I don't know how it was, but on that ark there, all of them were safe on the boat, but you had all different types of creatures. Now, I ain't trying to take that too far, but I hope you understand today, we're on this boat, we're on the mountain, on the ship called Zion. We're on the ark, Jesus Christ. There's all different types of personalities, but it does not mean that one's better than the other. I'm just glad to be on the boat tonight. I don't know about you. I'm glad to know that I'm saved. I'm glad to know that I'm heaven bound. But in the midst of personalities, I've come to find out in traveling to different places, worship ends up becoming a war when really it's supposed to be something where we magnify the Lord. That's what praise and worship is to do. Our churches, our services, our lives are to be something that is magnifying the Lord every single day. It ought to magnify the Lord. Every time you come through the doors, you ought to magnify the Lord. Every time a song is sung, you ought to magnify the Lord. Every time you're given the offering, you ought to magnify the Lord. Every time you go to Walmart, you need to magnify the Lord. It doesn't matter where you go, you ought to be a worshiper. You ought to be somebody that praises the King of Kings. Come to hear me today, friend. There's some things you've got to have to truly worship God. One of the things is this. Do you know when you worship God, you have to have some emotion? I didn't say emotionalism. You know, emotionalism is when I tried to get you, let's do a wave, you know. I ain't trying to do that. When we say praise the Lord, it ain't because we're bored. It's because we want to magnify His name. There's emotionalism. But hear me today. You cannot separate your emotion and your worship. You cannot separate your emotions and your worship. Have you ever raised your hands before and worshiped God and just cried? That's your emotions. Have you ever all of a sudden felt excited about the things of God and maybe let out a little, woo, thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but I went out a time or two. I got excited. I mean, I just felt the Lord. I knew God was in. I knew the Spirit of God was there. And I just want to let God know how much I love Him. I wanted to worship Him. I wanted to magnify Him. That ought to be in the inside of every one of you. And if it's not there, something is wrong. Like I said, I know there's different personalities. I ain't saying you got to act like your neighbor and your neighbor's got to act like you. But if we could get each individual to focus on themselves and to worship God, we would see revival. You know, that's the trouble with the individual. Sometimes we're saying, oh, maybe so-and-so's too loud, or maybe so-and-so's too quiet, or maybe so-and-so this. We've got to learn to worship God anyhow, no matter what, myself included, all of us. We've got to learn to worship God anyhow. Not only do you have to have emotion to worship God, but worship is work. It is. Worship is something you've got to press past. We should be concerned. We really should be concerned about the way the mindset is nowadays. We should be dumbing down so many different things. And even in our Western culture, it seems like we're beginning to dumb down even our worship. We live in an entertainment culture where everything is supposed to be fun and effortless. So Christians who come to church on Sunday expect that same environment time and time again. But hear me today, friend. When you come through those doors, you ought to come in here. And even if you don't feel like you ought to still worship God. Even if you don't feel like it's been the best day and you're tired in body, you ought to still worship God. Even though everything may not be going right, you ought to still worship God. It's worth doing. It's worth putting forth the effort. Hear me today, friend. We expect sometimes, when I say we, I'm talking about the world as a whole, we expect everything to be easy, everything to be just nonchalant. We need to discover the truth that praising God is not nothing we can just do in a passive mindset. You know, sometimes services get passive. Passive. What I mean is, what time is it? 6:44. I'm preaching the Bible. And that shouldn't be a passive thing. That ought to be a here and now thing. That will call not because I'm preaching. It doesn't matter who's preaching it. I mean, I've heard people preach that I didn't think were the best, but I knew they were fervent. I knew they had a word from heaven. You know what I was doing? I'm not asking you to do this, but I was saying, preach it, brother. Amen. You're just right. God is good. God is that. We've got to learn not to be passive. Another thing is this. Worship takes the engaging of your mind. Amen. You ever sang a hymn? I've done it. I'm talking about me. I can't. Have you ever sang a hymn just because you knew the words? Seriously. Sing Amazing Grace because you heard it 1,000 times. And then every now and then I'll sit down and I'll sing Amazing Grace. You know, I'm just singing it by myself. And all of a sudden I'm thinking about what I'm singing. I said, it is amazing. This is Amazing Grace. He did come to me when I was lost. He did save me. That's what we're supposed to do. Our songs are not to be passive. And all this we must understand. It takes the engaging of your mind. It takes us understanding what He did. But also this worship is personal. I've already touched on that a little bit. You must worship God for yourself. No one else can do it in your praise. The choir cannot worship God for you. Neither can the ministers worship God for you. Hear me today, friend. Worship is a corporate thing, but every individual has to do it. And something's wrong if you do not. If you ain't worshiped God tonight as an individual, that's your problem. Yes. If you didn't worship God tonight, that's your problem. It ain't because the color of the carpet. It ain't because of life. It ain't because of this. It ain't because of that. If we do not worship God as individuals, the Lord's dealt with me before, that is a personal issue. All of us must worship God. It is correct that we worship all corporately, but each individual has to do it. We do it with others and with the entire people of God. We come together, but each one must worship God personally. Only young fathers and mothers, even children, if you are a Christian, worship God for yourself. You've got to learn to focus on God yourself. You've got to learn to be thankful yourself. You've got to learn to read and be thankful in His Word and in the Spirit yourself. Nobody else can motivate that. Only you can do it. You've got to worship God. Now, when we look at this today, we would understand that this word praise in the Bible, and I read some different definitions of what praise is, and praise is everything but quiet praise. When you read through the Bible, the psalmist had some different things we're going to talk about. But really, one person said this, praise is that inward feeling and emotion that is going to show up in your language, that's going to show up on the outside somewhere. You're going to worship God and praise God in some form or some manner. Sometimes it may be this way. I've seen some will kick their feet. That's all right to me. It doesn't matter how you worship God. Just worship Him. I see them shout. I see them whatever. Hey, if it's in the Spirit and God's in it and you're excited about what God's doing in your life and you're being an overcomer, let God bless you. And when we worship God anyhow, we'll find that the first time worship is mentioned, it is in Genesis 14 and 19. It said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God. But that's the first time we really see that idea of worship and all that. But then also we'll find in Revelations 19 and it says this, praise our God, all you His servants, and you that fear Him. It's all throughout the Bible that you are built and designed to worship. And hear me today, if you don't worship God, you're going to worship something. Some people worship the latest TV show. Can't miss it. Oh, I got to get home. Got to hurry up. Can't wait to get there. Got to put the DVR button record. I got it. Just in time. Something's wrong, friends. They're like, hey, you can record what you want as long as it's clean and godly. It ain't got the filth of this world in it. It's none of my business. But what I'm saying is this. You ought to have the same integrity about the house of God. You ought to say, look, I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to get in the altars. I can't wait to sing a song. I can't wait to be there. That ought to be inside of you, my friend. We'll find here that when it talks about these praise in the last part of the book of Psalms, we'll understand that praise is a duty. Praise is a duty of the believer. And if you are withhold praise from God, you're being forgetful and you're being unthankful. Thanksgiving coming up, isn't it? Only day we eat like hogs and say, Lord, we're so thankful. You know, that's all right. I enjoy good turkey and stuff and all of it. Pumpkin pie. I love good old Thanksgiving food. But hear me today, friends. We talk about thankfulness, but thankfulness is going to show up in your praise and in your worship, even on Thanksgiving. I guarantee you're going to go to somebody that cooked and say, that was good. You're a good job. I like that. You'll give them some sort of praise here today. Hear me today, friends. We even tell our kids, if they're not thankful, we call them spoiled brats. Yes, that's what we call them. You ever seen a kid that's just not thankful? And you could give them $100 and they'll run off with it and say, woo! If somebody did that to you, you'd say, that's that kid just, he wasn't thankful. You know, he just wasn't a thankful kid. And, you know, this and that. Hear me today, friend. Anytime a kid's not thankful, we get on him. I'm telling you, anytime a Christian's not thankful, the Lord ought to get on us. Amen. He gives to us all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We can find thankfulness and praise and worship all throughout the Bible. Even in the very first song in the Bible, we'll find in Exodus 15, we'll understand it's when the children of Israel, when they come through that Red Sea, can you imagine that? Been brought out of bondage, they've seen 10 plagues, they've been delivered from Pharaoh. All of a sudden they come to that Red Sea, mountains on both sides of them, Pharaoh behind them, there is no way. God opens that Red Sea, they get on the other side, the Red Sea shuts on Pharaoh and his army, their bodies are washing up on the shore, and you'll find in Exodus 15 and 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously, and His horse and his rider have been thrown into the sea. And you'll find in verse 20, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women that went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered and said, sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously, and the horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. That old overcoming Miriam, buddy, she got her a tambourine. We ain't got tambourines here, do we? All right. Well, she got her a tambourine. And she began to shake it, and she said, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. You brought us through the Red Sea. Sing the songs of that. He's brought you out of sin. You ought to have a song. He brought you out of perversion. You ought to have a song. He brought you out of drug addiction. You ought to have a song. He brought you out of gambling and alcohol, cigarettes, or whatever it was. You ought to have a song. And if you don't, something's wrong. Now, I don't know. I didn't know we didn't really pay attention too much. Oh, church, we got a tambourine about every other seat. Some can play them and some can't. But I remember one time I had a drug addict cousin got born again. Now you can think what you want, or you know, I don't know if you're against tambourines or not, but I love them. I wouldn't mind having one right now. I'm telling you, my old drug addicted cousin, he got born again and knew he got delivered. And one day you can tell he don't have a musical bone in his body, but I heard something in the background. I heard something going, ch, 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 ch. I said, who in the world's got the tambourine out now? You know, we don't just take off every service, but if God's in it, we'll shake the tambourine. We don't handle snakes now. I'm talking about tambourines. Got some big eyes up here. It's just a thing with bells on it. It ain't got nothing to do with the devil. It's just some tambourines. You get excited and the Lord's in it, you can shake it a little bit. And you know, especially even to keep a beat there with the music. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. I heard something just a little dashing a little bit. I looked back there and old Dustin was sitting between them. He was sitting there, had that tambourine, and he had tears running down his face, and he was just tapping it a little bit, not even saying he was on beat or what. But hear me today, friend. What it was, he felt something in his soul. He knew just a few weeks ago he was smoking crack cocaine, but he knew he came to church and got born again. He just took a tambourine. He began to tap the tambourine a little bit. But in that, he found victory. He ended up praying through. Things began to happen. Hear me today, friend. It's all right to worship Him. My Lord. Feel a chainsaw get in the bind sometimes. You wonder. It's all right to worship Him. It's all right to praise the Lord. It's all right to magnify His name. Hey, I cannot help. I'm tired. Look, get over it tonight. You can worship God anyhow. If I've got work tomorrow, that's all right. You can worship God right now. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about worshiping God for what He's done for you right now. Good luck stopping Miriam. Carrying them bricks all them years. My Lord, watch my family suffer. Watch what the enemy did to them. I can see Miriam right now, old Pharaoh. Oh, he's fought us for all these years. Hundreds of years. I've watched my grandfather die. I've heard the stories what he did for Abraham. I've heard the stories what he did for Isaac. I've heard the stories what he did for Jacob. But oh my, can you see Miriam there? As she gets on the other side of that Red Sea, and she's looking there at them Egyptian bodies. Maybe she'll recognize one that she used to see there on the lot that used to drive her and make her work all the time. And she thought to herself, my Lord, the Lord's brought us through it, and God's been faithful. And she began to pick up that tambourine, and it said this, it said, and those there and the ladies behind her, the prophetess and sister there took up a timbrel, and all the women went out after her, and they began to say, thank you Lord, we've been delivered, we're brought out of Egypt, He's destroyed the enemy, I think I'm going to worship Him for what He's done for me. Hallelujah. Should be here every service. Should be here every service. Shouldn't have to be primed or pumped. It ought to be natural. It ought to be something you say, Lord, You brought me through another week. Lord, You've been faithful another week. God, You provided another week. I didn't get in the car wreck. My children are healthy. The situation's all right. I've got my finances, everything. You know, you ought to have that in your heart every week. You ought to be thankful and worshipful. And you ought to learn, we all of us have to learn, that we praise the Lord because the Lord has triumphed gloriously over our enemies. Hallelujah. I just picture it. Miriam sitting there. She grabs that tambourine and begins to worship God. She begins to magnify the Lord for all that He's done for her. We've got to understand today when it comes to this word called praise. And in the English language, we have one word, praise. And that's the only word we use for praise. And I don't know if you've ever done studies on this before. I'm sure you have. But what I'm saying is this. In the English language, you just simply say, praise the Lord. And that's all we think about it. Because praise in English basically has one definition. But when you study the Hebrew in the Old Testament, praise does not have one definition. Praise has seven definitions. This is exciting to me. But when we look in the Bible, like I said, in the Hebrew, there's seven different words for the word praise. So when you're looking through the Old Testament, you come to the Psalms. When you get to that word praise, I encourage you, stop. Get out of Strong's Concordance and figure out which word praise is used in there. We will understand seven times it's used, seven different words in Hebrew. And we know the letter, the number seven, is that number of completion here. We understand, I want you to get this today. The first word that's used for praise in the Hebrew, it's the word Barak. And that word Barak means this. It means a bowing down. It means I'm a man, you are God. It's saying, look, I am just, I am fetal. I am human, you are the Creator. So when we read that word Barak there in the Old Testament, and you'll find that in Psalms 95 and 6 where it says this, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That first word there in praise, that word Barak there, it is the idea of a human being bowing down to their Creator. And my Lord, if you can't worship God that way, if you can't come to church and bow down and say, Lord, I've got a problem, but you've got the answer. Lord, I am a human, but you are the Creator. Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. Lord, I am feeble, but you are not. God, I cannot do it, but you can. That is what that word praise Barak means. It is that idea that I am a human and He is the Creator. You ever felt that in a service? Well, you came to service and you felt that big. Good. It's good that we feel that big at times. The Lord's presence should intimidate you to the place that you realize, look, I ain't all that in a bag of chips, you know. You got to come to that conclusion. I'm not all that. So that's what that first word means. You also find it in Psalms 106 and 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise you, the Lord. That is the first word. It's that word of bowing down. It's that word of homage. The second word that is used in Hebrew when we come to that word praise, it is the word called Zamar. It is the word called Zamar. That is the idea. Look the word up and study it. The word Zamar, then the second Hebrew word is the idea of praising the Lord with music. It's also, when you look the word up, it means to strike with your fingers. You'll find this in Psalms 9 and 2. It says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. But also the famous passage is this. In Psalms 153, it says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Amen. You know, anybody here play the trumpet? A few. One. Praise the Lord with the brother. Amen. Praise the Lord with the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. It is that word Zamar. It's the idea of praising the Lord on music. It's when somebody plays the piano, you're playing it as worship unto the Lord. When you clap your hands or whatever you do, you're doing it unto the Lord. When Brother Raleigh's on the guitar, he's worshiping God through the guitar. If you put somebody on the drums and is kept in a right condition and mindset, heavenly friend, you can worship God on the drums. You can worship God on the bass. It doesn't matter what you play. If you play it for the Lord and it's worshipful, do it unto the Lord. I can't stand when people just, and I'm not saying here, but I've seen it before, playing an instrument, they're just doing it because they got the ability. It's not why we sing. It's not why we play instruments. We sing and we worship and we pray because that word, we would understand that God wants us to worship Him. As He says here, that word Zamar means praise with music. The third word in Hebrew is this. It is the word Yada. That word Yada there is the third Hebrew word used for praise. It is the idea of lifting hands. Is that biblical? Yeah. I would. That men would lift up holy hands. Amen. Not defiled hands. Not perverted. But holy hands without wrath and without doubting. There is a posture to that, and that's what that word means there. You'll find this word in Genesis 29 and 35, and it's talking about here. It's talking about that woman with that barren womb, and she conceived again a bare son, and she said, now I will praise the Lord. It's the same word used there, you ought to praise. You also found it in Psalms 139 and 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. He said, I will praise thee. I will yada praise. I will lift my hands because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I may have told it before. My Uncle David, I talked about him some this morning. Got delivered from barbiturates. And man, we worked together some in the grain industry. And he worked out there, and there was a lot of brothers from Honduras, and some brothers, and when I say brothers, I wouldn't call them brothers, but they were from Honduras. They were from, they were different Hispanics, different ones. I'm not saying they were saved or nothing. Some of them I feel like they were. But Uncle David was a man, once he got saved, he's going to testify every service. Even if you don't ask him, he's going to testify. That's what Uncle David is. He just has a testimony. I've been saved, been redeemed. But Uncle David, he goes out to the grain sites. He doesn't think about anything. He don't worry about anybody. He just go out there, Uncle David, and walk right in the scale house and say, "Hallelujah!" Right by the millionaire that owns the factory. He don't care. One day I went out there, and the Hispanics came to me. And they said, pointed at my Uncle David and said, "Hallelujah!" I said, "What?" They said, "Mr. Hallelujah!" They begin to call Uncle David Mr. Hallelujah because he worshiped God all the time. You know why? Because he was brought through the Red Sea. He was brought out of Egypt. And there was something. He put his hands in the air and he would worship God. That ought to be inside of you. Well, I ain't trying to force you to do anything. But I am telling you this. There ought to be something inside of you when it comes to worshiping God. It ought to cause you to at least say, "Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good." And that is something heavenly, friend. The fourth word used in Hebrew for praise is the word Tota praise. That word Tota praise means this: lifting up hands and singing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. You ever heard that kid's song? Lifting up holy hands. Well, shake off those heavy bands. And even kids will go like this: shake off those heavy bands, lift up those holy hands. And the whole idea is that the kids' song would do good in church sometimes, wouldn't it? We're going to start having warm-ups for church. So shake them off and raise them. Shake them off and raise them. Shake them off and raise them. It's good to worship the Lord. That word turn of prayer means lift your hands, and it means to sing. But get this, you study the word out even further. It means a choir of worshipers. This isn't just a choir up here. It's to be a choir of worshipers. Amen. The world's got choirs. You go to universities, they got choirs. But there's something different about a church that has a choir. It's the idea of lifting up hands. It's the idea of singing. You'll find this in Psalms 42 and 4. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and with praise, with the multitude, and kept the holy day. You'll find this in Psalms 101, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Then we come to this fifth word. And the fifth word is this, Shabbat praise. Now, Shabbat is a different word. It is when you study the word out, it means a loud, glorifying tone. That's what the word means. A loud, glorifying tone. Let me just start from the secular sense and work our way into the spiritual. If all of a sudden tomorrow you want a brand new car, can you imagine somebody come up to you and saying, "Look," and all of a sudden they came up to you and said, "Look, I don't know how you want it, but your name got in this pot, but here's a brand new Lamborghini. You know, 200 and something thousand. I traded in myself." But this word Shabbat plays here. It's the idea of a loud, glorifying tone. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all of a sudden somebody gives you a brand new car? I guarantee if somebody gave you a brand new car, you wouldn't just sit there being passive about it. I knew somebody one time in school. They want a car and a year's free gas. And I promise you this, you'd have thought they were the next richest person in the world. They were excited. They were happy. And they did something like this. "Woo! I won! It's me!" That word Shabbat praise is the idea. You ever seen somebody score a touchdown? You don't see too many score a touchdown and just say, "Well." When somebody usually scores a touchdown on something, they're like this. "Woo, let's go team!" Because they are excited. That word Shabbat there, getting back to the spiritual, that's all secular. That word Shabbat there is a loud glorifying tone. And you'll find it in Psalm 63:3. "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. That is the idea of Shabbat praise. It is that loud, that glorifying tone. Have you ever been in a service with somebody where we were in my old church there? Sister Silver, you and I, we would call it a war hoot. You can call it what you want. That's what we called it. And it's when you never knew if the Lord was moving sometimes and the Lord moved on her, she would say, "Woo! That's all right. That's her." And she was worshiping God. But in some churches, you just can tell. You can tell somebody's over there worshiping God and they're crying. And you say, "Well, touch him, Lord. Touch him. God, whatever she needs, help him. Whatever he needs." And sometimes they'll say something like, "Hallelujah," or "Praise the Lord." That's what that word Shabbat praise is. The sixth word in the Hebrew is this. It is that word we already dealt with a little bit. It is that halal praise. That word halal praise, when you study it out, it is that idea is kind of uncontrollable. To be clear, it is a sound, but usually of color, to shine hints, to make a show. That is the exact definition in the Hebrew. It is the idea of an unexplainable praise. You ever seen somebody praise the Lord and it was just unexplainable? I don't know if you ever seen it. You thought to yourself, "What are they doing?" And they're worshiping God. It's that kind of praise that it's not really to describe it. It's when somebody begins to worship the Lord. They're not worried about their neighbors, but they are worshiping the Lord. You'll find this in Psalms 119 and 164. It says, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteousness and judgments." Hear me, they pray. It is a noticeable praise. And the last praise in the Hebrew, the seventh one we're going to deal with in this, is the word called the Tehillah praise. You ever heard of that? What Tehillah praise is this. It's the last word used in Hebrew, and it's probably one of the best. Tehillah praise, it is actually a song. It is a personal song. It is a hymn of praise that when God does something for somebody, they have something that happens on the inside of them. It is something they feel scripted in their hearts. It is something that comes out of them. That is as a song of praise. It's as a hymn of praise. Hear me, they friend. Everybody in this room today, if you're born again and you're happy and you're victorious, you at least have a song in your heart. That word Tehillah actually means a hymn. But you won't find it in the hymn book. It's a personal song. It is a song that God gives you. It is a song that only you can sing. It is a song that nobody else can sing it, because it is a song that God has given you. It is a testimony that God has given you. And hear me today, friend. Everybody in this room today, there ought to be something within your heart that is a hymn, that is a song where you can testify and sing it to the Lord, what He's done for you, where He's brought you from. That is what Tehillah praise really is. It's a testimony. It's a testimony on the inside of you that you begin to worship God and you begin to say, "Lord, you did this for me. God, you did this for me. Lord, you were faithful in this." And you begin to worship God. That is the word it's talking about there. You find this in Psalms 100 verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with the hill of praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." You'll also find it in Isaiah 61:3. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of Tehillah praise for the spirit of heaviness." It's saying God wants to take that old heavy spirit that the world tries to put on you. That garment of filth that the world put on you. And He wants to give you a garment of praise. He wants to give you a song. He wants to give you a testimony. He wants to give something inside of you. I hear me today, friend. Oh, I don't want to lose you here. But everybody in this room today, if you don't praise God in any of the other ways, you'll at least praise God with that personal testimony, what God's done for you, where He's brought you from. And I don't care how you respond to it, just talk to the Lord and praise Him some way, somehow. The Tehillah praise is the idea. I could testify, if I could sing, I'd sing it to you. I can't. But if I could somehow sing my testimony to you, that's what Tehillah praise would be. I could say, "Lord, you kept me from getting in car wrecks. Lord, you kept me from being consumed by this. Lord, you kept me from doing that, and I praise you. Lord, you kept me from here. You kept me from this. You kept me from going down that road. You kept me from that situation. And Lord, you're doing this now. God, you said you'll do this in the future." If you understand what I'm saying, it is a song that God gives you personally. And you ain't got to be on key to sing it. You can sing it between you and the Lord. You can sing it between you and God. If it's not there, something's wrong. You ought to have that personal relationship with the Lord. That you know what He's done for you. You know where He's taken you. Hear me today, friend. When it comes to this word praise, we'll move along in this. And I'll try not to take too much longer. But when it comes to this word praise, praise here today, your joy is not complete until you praise Him. Your joy will not be complete until you praise Him. All enjoyment spontaneously overflows into a praise. Amen. I mean, just can you just imagine, for instance? And I'm just going to take it. Who likes reading books occasionally? Can you imagine reading a good book, a good godly book? And it was really good. I mean, you read it and you said, that was good. But not be able to tell your neighbor about it. You understand what I'm saying? Can you imagine, just for instance, let me just give you another example. Can you imagine going to that delicious restaurant and say, that's the best restaurant I've ever been to, but you can't tell your wife or your neighbor? I've learned in this church, we find a good restaurant, it's getting around. Hey, amen. We're going to tell each other about it. You tried so-and-so? Man, it's good. You tried this? Oh, it's delicious, man. I'm telling you, when you get a chance, go. You know why? Because you're praising the restaurant. Not worshiping, but you're saying, look, they had good food. They knew what they were doing. They were cooking real good. Or can you imagine going to the mountains and not be able to look out the window and say, look at that mountain. Look how big it is. Can you imagine trying to contain all that? I don't know how you are when you go to the mountains, but I'm looking around and saying, isn't that beautiful? Look at that. But can you imagine sitting there, have to hold the steering wheel and just say, well, I can't tell them about it because I just can't. I just... That's what it's like when you don't praise God. But can I tell you this? God's better than any book you read. God's better than the best food you've ever had and put in your mouth. And God made the mountain you got excited about. And it's better than the song that you heard. And it's better than what you can do. Our God is better than all of that. And it's just like trying to go to the mountains, not look out the window. How can you imagine coming to church and just doing this? Still doing it.
Amen. Yeah.
Come on. What I'm saying is, if you really have an encounter with the Almighty, and you've had an encounter with His Majesty, I'm not asking for anything, but I'm saying at least you're going to praise Him in some form or some fashion. It's going to be through, it's going to be through that. You may weep, you may cry. Look, I'm a big crybaby myself. Me and my wife were decorating the Christmas tree the other day and the tears got to coming. Just special, I don't know why, it's just me. I'm a crybaby. My sister's, Lord, me and my dad's back there, you know, at my little sister's wedding, we both were losing it. I think somebody said, you think you were getting married? I said, you think that was bad? You should have seen me at my wedding. Let me give you all caution. If you ain't married yet, those tuxedos come with silk handkerchiefs and they're not good when you're up there crying. Because they don't do too much. But what I'm saying is this. However you worship God, if it's tears, if it's joy, if it's raising your hand, if it's shaking the timbre, if it's singing a song, worship God because He's the greatest thing you've ever encountered. Amen. It's there. It should be there. There should be a way that we just worship Him. And I mean, it just should be inside of us. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the shepherds? The Bible says when the shepherds in Luke 2 and 20, Christmas is coming up if you didn't know. Luke 2 and 20, when them shepherds went, can you imagine being there in the field and all of a sudden the heavens open and you see the angels saying, unto you today is born, you know. And all of a sudden you go there and you behold the Messiah. Being of the lowest, one of the lowest statuses in the town. And here it is, you're looking at the Messiah. The Bible said this, and the shepherds returned, and they didn't say anything. No, they don't say that. They didn't just sit there and say, well, seen the Messiah. Heard, seen angels. Where's my sheep? They didn't sit there and say, oh, got to get back to the campfire. The Bible says that, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And it said that the other people wondered or were amazed. When is the last time, hear me, that our churches worship and praise created wonder in the hearts of unbelievers? Oh God, I felt God just rubbing. I just felt it. When is the last time a sinner came in and they looked at us and said, I don't know, but they've seen something I ain't seen yet. They've witnessed something I've never witnessed. All worship should create wonder. It should create majesty. We should be just like the wee shepherds. And when we've seen it, we ought to glorify and praise the Lord. Old Jatco. Anybody ever heard of Jatco? Now, you may not agree with all of his theology, but man was tough. When I say that, that's just the old word that God used him. I mean, Jatco was as country as you could get. 16-year-old, a drunkard, the doctor had already he had so many ulcers in his stomach from smoking and drinking at that age, had been orphaned at a young age, and had gotten back with his parents after a while, after the orphanage. They couldn't afford to keep him. So after he grew up in the orphanage, he came back home, a drunkard, ulcers all in his stomach. I mean, the doctor done told him, Jack Coe, you're going to die if you don't quit smoking and drinking. You might die anyhow. Well, Jack Coe kept feeling the tug of God to get saved. And after the doctor told him he was going to die, he said, I'm going to get saved. At least if I'm going to die, I'm going to go to heaven. He went down to a Church of the Nazarene. This is his personal testimony. He went down to a Church of the Nazarene, and there in that church service, he went down to the altar, and he said, hey, I don't even know much. He said, I don't know much all what happened. I went there to get saved. And the way that he found the church is he opened up the phone book, and the first church he landed his finger on, he went there. That's just how Jack Coe was. I mean, just wide open. He went to this church and got saved, and he said he didn't know how to describe his salvation. And he said, in the Church of the Nazarene, you didn't say hallelujah unless it was in the book or the course book or the hymn book said it. That's the only time you ever said hallelujah. Amen. That's Pentecostals. It's spontaneous. You can say it anytime you want. Say it now if you want. Don't bother me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He said, if it wasn't scripted, you weren't allowed to say it. He didn't know that at the time. When Jack Coe got saved, he stood up from that altar. He said, hot dog, I got it. Praise the Lord. Hot dog, I got it, is all he could say. He said, they looked at him. He said, I looked at them and said, hot dog, I got it. It's true. Jack Coe went home and he walked in, woke up his mom and dad. And he said, Mom, I'm saved. She said, no, you're drunk. This is his testimony. She said, and she said, no, you're drunk. He said, no, I'm telling you, I got it. I really did get it. And all of a sudden she got his dad up and she said, yeah, he's drunk again. He'd been coming in so many times drunk. She said, take him in the living room there, get him on the couch there. And the whole time the dad was walking him to the living room, he said, Dad, hot dog, I got it, Dad. I got it, I got it. His dad was trying to undress him and get him on the couch there so he'd go to sleep. He said, Dad, I'm telling you, I got it. Jack Cole drifted off to sleep the next morning, woke up, came to the breakfast table, told his mom, I got saved. And she thought she was saved. And she said, what do you mean? He said, I'm telling you, hot dog, I got it, Mama. I got it. She said, what do you mean? He said, I got what you don't have. And then the daddy stood up and said, you need to watch it, son. He said, Dad, all I can say is I got it. And you can read the testimony. He kept on saying, all I know, the next morning he said it to his mother. He kept on going about in the streets. And all he would say to people when they say, what happened to you, Jack Cole? Why don't you drink anymore? He kept saying, hot dog, I got it. I'm saved. I'm born. That's all he knew. He didn't know the theological terms. He even went up to a cop one day. And he said, you know, he said, the righteous is going to inherit the kingdom of God. The cop said, well, you find out in the Bible. He said, I don't have a clue, but I know the preacher said it. Jack Coe ended up going to service every night. They had a little revival there. And this was his testimony. He said this before the Nazarenes were completely dead. He said, but he would go to that church all the time. He said he would go there. And he said he can't go down the altar. He said he was the only one getting the loudest all the time. And they would just stare at him. He said, I'll stare right back at him. You know why? Because he got it. He'd get excited about tomato soup and the food in the grocery store aisle, he said, remind him of the blood of Jesus. That's all right. He would praise the Lord as my wife comes to the piano tonight. He would learn to worship God. After Jack Coe's conversion, hear me today, friend. All he knew to do was express what he had. It was on the inside of him, but all he knew to do was to worship God. And I just want to return to this fact today. I'm preaching to you on hallelujah. It is the idea tonight of that word hello compared to the Lord. It simply means this, praise the Lord as you stand to your feet. I hope you receive something from the Word tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. You know, an altar call like this, I'm preaching on worship and praising God. You're like, how do you give an altar call with that? It's easy. Everyone in this room, we need to become worshipers and prayer, more praiseful. I do my, all of us need to do. All of us. We need to learn to praise God even more. I don't want to go through form. When I say that, I'm talking about because I see it all over America where people just are not thankful. I want to be a church that cultivates praise and thankfulness and worship. And just like those shepherds that witnessed the Almighty in the manger, that we can return glorifying and praising God. As I said to you already today, friend, I hope you receive something from them, some seven words. That word, I don't care how you praise God tonight, but we're going to go over these words, just a review, and we're going to pray. If you pray the Lord, praise the Lord from that first word, Barak praise, which means bow down, I'm a man and you're God. If you praise Him with Zamar, praise Him with your music. Worship God with music. If you praise Him by the lifting up your hands, if you praise Him with the lifting up your hands and singing, if you praise Him with a loud, glorifying tone, if you praise Him with something that's unexplainable and uncontrollable, or if you praise Him with Tehillah praise, simply a song in your heart. Everybody in this room today, I've already dealt with this. You ought to have a song in your heart, and you ought to worship God. We read in the Bible so many other points I could go over. But even in the midst of persecution, you can still worship and praise God. Sometimes we base our praise on our feelings. And when you do that, you can be deceived. But you know, you can praise God in the worst trial of your life. I want to say, I can't remember the lady's name, and we're going to pray. But if I'm not mistaken, in the way I've gotten the testimony before, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but the lady that, you ever heard that song, I'm going to walk right out of this valley. Lift my hands and praise the Lord. I'm not going to let old Satan get me down, down, down. Something like that. That lady, if I'm not mistaken, the woman that wrote that song, she got the phone call, and this is the way it was told to me. She got the phone call that her daughter had just been murdered, or not murdered, but got in a car wreck and died. And she was at a church service, and she left the church service. She went to the scene of the accident. Her daughter was a little older. She went to the scene of the accident, and she's seen the car, and she's seen the blood on the pavement. And the devil came to her and said, you know what? Here you are serving God. And God allows your little daughter, or allows your daughter to die. That mother said, from what I understand, as she's seen the blood there on the pavement, she said all of a sudden she heard that old accuser kept on saying in her mind, God did this to you. If I'm not mistaken, out of that trial, she wrote that song, I'm going to walk right out of this valley. Lift my hands and praise the Lord. You can lift your hands even in your trials. No matter what you're going through, you can worship God. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal your praise. Let's not let the charismatics steal our praise. Amen. You know, sometimes I look at this world sometimes too and I say, my Lord, I know that can't be right. Maybe we should hold back. And I think to myself, why should we let them have all the joy and the peace of the Holy Ghost? I'll tell you what the problem may be, and we're going to pray. I know I said I got five closings. Amen. I know we're about to pray. You're on your feet. I've got better pulpit ethics than that, I think. But you know, the problem is the joy has been missing in some of the holiness movements of the day. I'm not saying here, but I'm saying as a whole. I've witnessed in the holiness movement where people have had the joy of the Lord zapped from them. And here it is, you've got the extremely worldly, some of them don't have a clue what they're talking about. They're at Walmart passing out smiley faces. It's little stickers and balloons and tracts. And we as holiness folks believe we have the truth. And sometimes we can't even say hey to each other or hey to a stranger. Not saying here as an individual, I'm saying as a whole. We cannot let the world have our joy. We've got to learn to praise God. And God wants to help us. Amen. I hope you received something. This altar's open today. General altar call. Let God put a praise in your heart. And as that Tehillah praise, a personal song. Why don't you come sing it to the Lord tonight individually? Empty them pews. Come find your place to pray. Talk to the Lord. And my Lord, I hope tonight you've been stirred in some sense. God help us tonight. Praise you.